in the book of Genesis, and specifically Genesis chapter 37, and it's the story of Joseph. God instituted marriage between a man and a woman, and that was his pattern. And he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Somewhere along the line, the children of Israel, well, we're starting with the first, where Jacob becomes Israel, and then he has 12 sons and one daughter. But somewhere along the line, they've started practicing polygamy. And that is not God's pattern for obvious reasons. We've got the 12 sons and one daughter. Well, they're from four different wives. They're from Leah. They're from Rachel, Leah's servant and Rachel's servant. So, you know, we're talking polygamy here. Now, what happens is, some of the sons look down on others, and Jacob plays favorites. He really liked Rachel best, and so he shows favoritism to Rachel's sons, Joseph and Benjamin. Okay? Well, the other ones, they have a grudge about that. So you've got these power struggles. Plus, you've got some incest going on. We're talking dysfunctional families here. All right? The oldest, the son is named Reuben, and he should be, you know, he should be the heir. He should be the firstborn. Well, he's had an affair with Bilhah, who is Rachel's concubine. Bilhah would be the mother of Dan and Naphtali. This guy's committed incest. And in the next chapter, in chapter 38, Judah commits incest. I mean, we're talking dysfunctional. Okay, so you start looking at polygamy and say, well, God allowed it. Yeah, God allowed it. But look at all of the heartbreak that comes from not following God's pattern. But, you know, they say, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Some people say lemonade in France. But Joseph cornered the world's market in making lemonade. He is the number one lemon squeezer in the world. And you know, those brothers intended some terrible things for Joseph. But God used Joseph not only to deliver the Egyptians and to save them, but to deliver his own people and save them in terrible times. So they say that God can hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. And Joseph, you know, a lot of people, I started studying for this lesson, and the scholars, and we're talking about people like Calvin and Luther and all the way back to Chrysostom, you know, the scholars are kind of divided over whether Joseph is a good guy or not. Some see him as a noble person. Some people see him as not so noble, as a manipulator and so forth. And so it's kind of interesting that they would be divided like that. You know, I always kind of saw Joseph as heroic myself. But when you read this kind of carefully, he's bringing some of this stuff on himself. And God, in his word, he tells us things about people, and you say, you know, human nature is like that. And then it tells us things about God, and you know, God is like that. The Bible is correct when it talks about human nature, and it's correct when it talks about divine nature too. So we look at the story of Joseph. This is part one. We'll continue it. The first point is we always need to do the right thing. You know, whenever you're in one of these gray area places where you're not sure what to do, you need to do the right thing. You need to do the thing that honors God and furthers His kingdom. You know, if you've ever got a choice, you choose the thing that gives glory to God. And he says, Moses writing here, he says, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan." Jacob, also known as Israel, his father, Isaac, had been a resident alien in the land. Well, according to the promise, they're supposed to own that land. Now, they own a couple of tombs, but there are 12 sons and one daughter. I mean, that promise to Abraham is coming true. And it says, this is the history of Jacob. We're talking about how Jacob fared and his sons fared in that land. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, working as a shepherd, all right? Joseph's only 17. Who was the only one that was younger than Joseph? Benjamin. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah. Now, Bilhah had been Rachel's body servant, and the sons of Bilhah would have been Dan and Naphtali. And he was with the sons of Zilpah. That was Leah's body servant, and her sons would have been Gad and Asher. So he's out there with them. He's with the sons of those two slave girls, two servant girls, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now, we're not told what it was, but he gave them a bad evaluation. Their professional performance was not what he ratted them out. He ratted them out. And he went straight to daddy, and guess whose favorite Joseph is? Daddy. So he goes to Jacob, Israel, and he rats them out. Now, are they going to like this? Are they going to hold a grudge? Well, these are the same guys who just wiped out the town of Shechem. Okay? Do they hold a grudge? Does the Pope wear a funny hat? It says, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now, here we go. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Okay, why is that? Because he was the son of his old age. Okay, you know, he still got it. And it says, also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Now, you got to take this with a grain of salt, but they found in Egypt an official, and this official does not have Egyptian facial characteristics, and he's wearing a coat of many colors. And there are people who think that this might be a depiction of a high-ranking official known as Joseph. Now, I got this off the internet. And you can't believe everything you've seen on the internet. Is this Joseph? I can't read the hieroglyphics. But that would be an interesting thing to look up and find out what those hieroglyphics actually say. But anyway, this is some kind of high-ranking official, and he's wearing a coat of many colors. Now, that coat of many colors was ruined, but he might have made a replacement. Anyway, Jacob makes Joseph a coat of many colors. How's this going to play in Peoria? Not well. What are the brothers going to say? Do you remember the Smothers Brothers? Mom always liked you best. You remember that? Some of you are dating yourself, and the others, you just sit there and smile. That's okay. That's okay. They said a lot of other things, too. But it says, also, he just kind of adds this. He made him a coat of many colors. Now, that's going to become key in this story, all right? But those brothers, they hate him, and they hate his coat, and they hate his dreams, and they cannot bring themselves to speak kindly to him. Now, you know what we're talking about because you went to high school. I had people coming up to me and said, I don't like your looks. I've never seen this person before in my life. And I just look at that and I say, well, you need to take that up with the Almighty because he gave me these looks. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. Now, in the original, it means they hated him and could not bring themselves to speak peaceably to him. They were dissing him to his face. All right? Now, Joseph had a dream. Yep, but wait, it gets worse. All right? Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brother. Now, my question here is, I who see Joseph as a noble personage, why did he have to tell them this dream? Okay? It's not going to help. Okay, Joseph. I don't think he wanted to help. I think he wanted to dig them. That's what I think. Upon further reflection, he's got the coat. He's got everything going for him. And so Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brother, and they hated him even more. Well, I'm not scared of you. Guess what dream I had? And so, well, what's the dream? He said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. Well, he did say please. There we were, binding sheaves in a field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. He's not even the oldest. Where's the oldest? We don't know where Reuben is. He's off to the races or something. He's not exercising leadership, that's for sure. And so Joseph, you know, who do you think you are? It's coming. It's coming. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more. Well, wait a minute. They hated him, and he got this coat of many colors, and they hated him even more. And then he told a dream, and they hated him even more. There seem to be levels of hatred.
So we're talking about exponential progression here?
Yes, I think it's getting, something's going to have to blow, you know. And then he dreamed still another dream. Now, the question is, where are these dreams coming from? I think they're coming from the Lord. And the Lord is preparing Joseph for his life's work. Of course, he doesn't know that. He just thinks, you know, he's had some interesting dream. Well, then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, yeah, this comes from a 17-year-old. And he has still another dream. He told it to his brother. Now, get this one. Look, I've dreamed another dream. And I can just see them rolling their eyes. Because they're out there working, you know, in the field. And here he comes with his coat. I've dreamed another dream. He says, this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. The heavenly bodies? I mean, the sun and the moon. Well, the sun, who is that? That's Daddy. That's Jacob. And the moon? Well, that's one of Daddy's wives. Just for the sake of argument, we'll say maybe Rachel. And the 11 stars. His brothers. And they're all bowing down to him. Now, you know what? He crossed the line. He crossed the line. Because you know who's going to get in on this? Daddy is. Okay? Daddy's going to have a thing to say about this one. Okay? So he told it to his father. Well, here we go. He told it to his father and his brothers. Okay? And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream you have dreamed? See, in that world, you might bow and show deep reverence to your father, but father doesn't bow down to this teenager, a 17-year-old. What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I, who's his mother? Rachel. Mm-hmm. That identifies the moon, doesn't it? What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? That's not the way it was done in that society. You know, this kid has got delusions of grandeur or what? Is this going to happen? But then there's one thing that Moses tells us. He says, his brothers envied him. Like, what else is new? But his father kept the matter in his mind.
But he has just validated their anger.
Oh, yeah. He's the father has. Oh, well, and Joseph has. Okay, so this is just setting the stage now. All right. What are those brothers going to do? They're going to get revenge. And remember, these guys are the same ones who plotted the destruction of an entire city, the king and the prince. They wiped them out and then plundered them. Okay, so are these guys capable? Oh, yeah, they're capable, and not in a good sense. All right, so number one, we do the right thing. Number two, we say the wise thing. Joseph has been speaking the truth and the wise thing, and it's gotten him into a world of trouble. But we do and we say the right thing, even if people don't respond the way we think they should. We need to do and say what God leads us to do and say. All right, now, this is not going to turn out well for a while. And Joseph's probably going to ask himself, what in the world is going on? But God has a plan. Number three, you need to carry out your assignment, would say the will of God, and leave the results to God. Because Joseph is going to get into a position that only God can deliver him from. But then God is going to use Joseph to deliver his people. Just like later, God is going to use Moses to deliver his people. You think about Moses. He's got the best education you could have had in the world. in Egypt, all right? Brought up in Pharaoh's own household. And then he murders a guy and has to flee Egypt. And they put him, he winds up on the backside of Midian following sheep around. For 40 years, he's going through these cow trails in Midian. It looks like he's wasted his life and he's wasted his education, right? But God is going to use his knowledge of those trails to deliver his people. And Moses is going to, he's going to be one of the defining characters of all human history. And he's really not wasting his time in Midian because he's going to lead the people of God through Midian. And God's going to speak to him in a way that he didn't even speak to Jacob. All right, so you've got to let God work. Even if everything looks like it's coming up bad, you've got to let God work. So it says, then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. They're living in Bethel. Their brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. What had they done in Shechem? Hello, they had killed everybody in Shechem. And everybody around there knows that these are the ones who. Why are they going all the way up there? There's a famine coming. There's a famine coming, and they're having to go all the way to Shechem and put their lives in danger just to feed their flock. When they throw Joseph in the well, it's a dry well. There's a famine coming. Doesn't say anything about that, but they're having to go way out of their range to find fodder for their sheep. And it says, then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Now, that's trouble. That is trouble right there. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come on, I'll send you to them. And so he said to him, here am I. You know what? Joseph, present for duty. This is the last time that Israel is going to see him or talk to him in a very, very long time. He's ready to go check because his father asked him. So he's going to go. 17 years old. He doesn't have GPS. He doesn't have a cell phone. He thinks he knows the way. Guess what's going to happen? He's going to get so lost, you know, and he's wandering around in his coat of many colors. And, pagers, servants running. Then he, Israel, said to him, Joseph, please go and see if it is well with your brothers. Well, you know what? I think Jacob's a little bit concerned about the brothers. And why is that? They're in Shechem. That's where they wiped everybody out. Okay? And Jacob's concerned about them. Well, what father wouldn't be? They have returned to the scene of the crime. He says, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks and bring back word to me. Well, there's your pager right there. And so he sent him out of the valley of Hebron and he went to Shechem. Now, this is about 50 miles north. 50 miles. That's two and a half days He's by himself. He's in the wilderness. They're beginning to have a drought. Now, a certain man found him. We are not told who this guy is. A certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. He's lost. He's wandering around. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking? What are you looking for?" Because, I mean, he's probably walking in circles by this time.
I don't think he's lost. It says he went to Shechem, okay? So he knew where he was going. Now he's looking around Shechem. He's wandering around Shechem.
There was a road that went that way, yeah. Yeah. He can't find his brothers. And so he's gone to the place where he thinks they are, and they're not there. And so he said in verse 16, "I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks." So he said, "Man, they have departed from here. I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" Well, Dothan's another day's journey to the northwest. They're off the map. They're having trouble finding fodder for their flocks. "Now, when they saw him afar off," now they look, they're up in Dothan. That is a long way from home. They're up in Dothan. Dothan is way up there. We'd call it the West Bank now. They see him coming afar off. Here he comes. He, mission accomplished. He's found him, all right? And they said, they conspired against him to kill him. Okay? 11 or 10 against 1. I'm not sure Benjamin's up there. They said to one another, "Look, here comes the king of dreams." That's what it says in Hebrew. The king of the dreams is coming. They've got a name for him. The dreamer king with his little coat. You can just see them. They're all sitting around. "Come, therefore, let us now kill him and throw him in some pit." Now, I've dug in the West Bank up near Michmash, and we were digging a place they think was AI, and we would take these wheelbarrows, and we would walk over, and we'd dump the dirt out, and we'd come back, and we were digging. Archaeology dig, you know. And one of the guys is his older guy. He's 40s, mid-40s, maybe even 50. And he takes his wheelbarrow, and he goes walking up this trail, and all of a sudden, he's gone. He has vanished from the earth. And the wheelbarrow's gone. Everybody's gone. And the guy, the archaeologist, says, "You know, what happens to so-and-so?" Well, he was going that way, so he goes up there, and he hears this voice coming from the ground. It seems that there's an old water cistern there from time past, and this guy has fallen into it. They need to get a 12-foot ladder so they can put it in the ground, and this guy comes back out, and then they got to get a wheelbarrow out. He had fallen 12 feet into a cistern, and they sprayed orange paint all around that place so that when you're going out away, you could actually see Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives and the Russian church that's at the top of the Mount of Olives from there. We were within eye shot of Jerusalem. He fell in a cistern. Those cisterns, they mean business. Okay? It wasn't full of water. It had cracks in it and everything. But, I mean, those things are there. And so It says, come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. Destroy the evidence. And we shall see some wild beast has devoured him. And we'll see what has become of his dreams. Okay, they're plotting revenge. And these guys are up to it. Because they've already wiped out a whole town. But Reuben heard it. Now, Reuben is supposed to be the leader. He's the oldest. He has committed incest. He is persona non grata. Okay? Everybody knows it. They're not listening to him. He should be the leader, but he isn't. It says, Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let's not kill him. Let's not kill him. And Reuben said to them, don't shed no blood, but cast him into this pit. Okay, let's not murder him, but what happens if they cast him into a pit? He's going to starve to death, or he's going to die of thirst, whichever comes first. Okay? And starvation's one of the worst ways. And so, shed his blood, cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him. Okay, Reuben, great fearless leader. How are you going to cast him into a pit without laying a hand on him? Well, lay a hand on him means don't kill him. All right, so he says that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to life. Reuben's got a plan. They're going to throw him in the pit, and when they're gone off, Reuben, is going to go back and pull him out of the pit and take him to his father into safety, to Reuben's credit. Okay? He spared him alive, and he's going to deliver him out of the pit. Reuben's working to save him. They're working to kill him. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat meal. Now, that's cold. That's cold, you know. I'm down here. Hey, guys, no coat. No water, no food, no father anywhere near, no cell phone connection, even LTE. Okay, this is not even 1G. This is, you turn your phone on, it says, what do you think you're doing? We've all been there. They lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites. You know, Isaac's or Abraham's son, Isaac, Ishmael. Ishmaelites are coming. Coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh. All those things later Jacob sends to Pharaoh. All the niceties of the land. They're headed down the way of the sea. They're going to Egypt. Okay? This is what we would call the Silk Road today. In those days, it's called the Way of the Sea. So they're bringing all this nice stuff, and they're going down to sell them in Egypt. All right? And Judah said to his brothers, now, Judah is the one that Jesus is going to descend from. More about him in the next chapter. Judah said to his brothers, look, profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood. I mean, what are we going to get out of doing that? What profit is there? He's acting from the best of motives here. Why does he use the word profit? See, there are two ways to spell profit, and this is the bad one. Money. Let's get something out of these. we got these Ishmaelites. Why don't we just sell him into slavery, and then we'll have some money to show for it? And, well, this is Judah's plan, okay? So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come on, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let our hand not be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. Let's sell him into slavery, for after all, he's our brother. This is almost like something to be on television, you know. And his brothers listened to him. We can get something from this. We can get some real money from this. Then the Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, price of a slave in that world. And they took Joseph to Egypt. He is out of the picture. Pretty well, we will not see him anymore. And then Reuben return to the pit. Now, what's he going to do? He's going to pull him out, and he's going to take him back to Jacob, right? Well, there's no Joseph in the pit. So Reuben returned to the pit, and Reuben's not been in on all this. Did you ever see that cat that it had two bills on it? One was pointing this way, one was pointing that way. It says, I'm their leader. Which way did they go? You can actually buy those. Anyway, Reuben, he's out of the loop. He came back and returned to the pit, and indeed, Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. I mean, he thinks that they have offed Joseph, and he has failed in his mission, and he tore his clothes, which is a sign of deep distress. And he returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more, and I, where shall I go? You know, he's going to have to go back and tell his father, and he's already in bad trouble because of this affair he had with his stepmother. And so, what am I going to do? And notice they're all interested in what is going to happen to me or what's going to happen to us. Then he took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in its blood for a while. Then they sent the tunic of many colors. One of the colors was red. And they brought it to their father. We found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? Well, they know it's his tunic. But notice they don't call him our brother. They say, your son's tunic. Do you know, hint, hint, wink, wink, if this is your son's tunic or not? Like they haven't ever seen it. And Jacob recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth around his waist, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him. Interestingly, it says all his daughters. The only daughter that I know of was who? Dinah, you know. All his daughters. Well, it could have been talking about grandchildren too. And all his daughters rose to comfort him. Be comforted, and he said, I shall go down to the grave to my son in mourning. They say that when Queen Victoria lost her husband, Albert, she wore mourning clothes for the rest of her life. Mourning for him. Anyway, he says, I will go down to the grave for my son in mourning. This is very unusual. You were born a certain period of time, even for close relatives. But he said, he's basically saying, this is going to be the end of me, and I'm not going to quit mourning until I die. Thus his father wept for him. Well, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar. Now, Potiphar is an Egyptian word which means belonging to the sun god, Ra, they worshipped, Potipharah. Okay, and he was an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. So that's where the story ends with, well, it doesn't end there, but that's where this chapter ends, with the brothers trying to comfort the father for something that they've done. The firstborn, who's committed incest, has seen his plans falling apart. Joseph is seeing his life totally turned upside down. Can God bring anything good out of this? Yeah. Just wait. So what do we get from this? Number one, you need to do the right thing and practice your faith. You need to do the right thing, even if others hate you for it. Jesus said, this is one that the prosperity gospel preachers don't preach on, you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Okay? They leave that one out. Jesus said, if the world hated me, it will also hate you because I've chosen you out of the world. Whatever we do for Christ and for the gospel and furthering his kingdom and furthering the Great Commission, it's going to be with the hatred of the world. Okay? Number two, we need to communicate God's revealed truth wisely. Okay? God has given us the greatest message, but we need to communicate it wisely. We need to speak the truth in love. We also need to speak with salt. We don't need to pave the road to hell. We need to warn people they're going the wrong way. If the bridge is out and only one way is only one bridge left, it is not hatred to say all the bridges are out except one. And it is not love to say any bridge will get you over. All right, number three. Whatever assignment God has given us, we need to carry it through. And to Joseph's eternal credit, he does what God sent him down there to do. And he delivers not only his people, but also the Egyptians from a terrible, terrible fate. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for sticking to your program and carrying out the promise you gave to Abraham and later to David. And even in such a twisted conundrum of adultery and incest and murder and hatred, you brought forth your Messiah who gives us reason and hope. Help us to live in such a way this week that will please you, glorify Christ, and further his kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.